Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for attending this evening's meeting of the Canterbury-Bankstown Local Planning Panel. My name is Carl Scully. I'm the chair of the planning panel. If I could just introduce you first to the panel members. On my immediate right is David Ryan, who's a planning expert. Peter Monks, planning expert. On my left is the panel community representative, Osmond Sade. So I'm just going to first give an acknowledgement of country as chairperson. The Canterbury-Bankstown Local Planning Panel acknowledges the traditional custodians of the land, water and skies of Canterbury-Bankstown and the Darug people. The panel recognises and respects Darug cultural heritage, beliefs and relationship with the land, and the panel acknowledges the First Peoples' continuing importance to the Canterbury-Bankstown City community. Thank you. I can indicate I have no conflicts of interest in relation to these two matters. Does the panel have any conflicts they wish to declare?
I have no conflicts to declare.
No conflicts from me, Chair.
So no conflicts. Can I also indicate as Chair that the minutes of the meeting of the panel held on the 5th of May 2025 are confirmed? Also, I should indicate this is not a question and answer session, but an opportunity for members of the public to express their views directly to the panel. The time limit for speakers is 5 minutes. There will be a bell after three and at 5 minutes. For those who are representing more than just themselves, we give a little bit of discretion for a little longer than that. The first item, I think we can go into business now. First item on the agenda is DA86/2025, 2025, 31 Forsyth Street, Belmore. It's an application to increase the maximum student number enrolled at All Saints Grammar School secondary campus by 25 students from 360 students to 385. I am advised that a Pamela Maloney wishes to speak to the panel. If you could come forward. I should indicate we are being recorded, so if you could come to the front and just state your full name.
Good evening, members of the panel. I have spoken and emailed about all these issues time and time again to no avail. I get sympathy but no action or support. I am in my 60s. My husband's family has lived in our home for 68 years. We are both nearing retirement. I have worked for the Department of Education for over 33 years and raised my three children in this home. I am not a politician or a town planner, but I know that 1.5 acre property is presently not sustaining the 400 plus people making up a school without consequence to our residential community. I expect to be respected, represented and heard like any other ratepayer in Canterbury Council. I have restrictions on what I can do on my property. I cannot erect 10 metre high structures on neighbouring property borders. I cannot add extra rooms to accommodate 50 international students for profit. I would love to walk to and from work each day and see Forsyth Towers and its grounds in the grandeur and respect it deserves. I would love to just be able to sit in my backyard and enjoy the surroundings and peacefulness of yesteryears and not to close my windows and doors to block out the noise whenever the awning is in use during school days and nightly events. I would love my 80-year-old mother to visit and my family of six adults to park their cars at any time of the day in front of my home without being fined, not around the corner or on a busy road that is dangerous to cross. I would appreciate to be able to enter and exit my driveway safely at all times and it not be used as a convenience for school buses and cars. I do not understand why I have to represent myself to justify the concerns that are affecting the wider community. Representing my family and neighbours has played a huge toll on my health, family and work life. especially the last week preparing for tonight. We are constantly being disregarded by the school and the people employed to ensure ethical conduct. 25 extra students today may only be an insignificant increase, but this disregards the allowed 360 students not included in any report submitted with the application or unresolved issues of its adjoining neighbours. We would appreciate if these issues are discussed in a less time-restricted meeting between the school, immediate neighbours and councillors to resolve current and future issues and transparency before a decision is made on this local heritage landmark and its community. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much. I appreciate the time you've taken to prepare for tonight too.
Thank you. I did prepare something that was a bit longer. My daughter has offered to read it for me.
That's okay. I have
a copy of it for each of the panel if they would like to accept it, just with
that's
some
fine.
Photos
can,
from our...
You can hand that up. And I've got a Kelly Maloney next. Is that that's your daughter? Yeah, okay. Pamela, does the panel have any questions? No, thank you very much for your time. Or if I could call on Kelly Maloney to speak.
Is it all right if I stay with her?
Yeah, sure.
Good evening, members of the panel. Thank you for allowing us the opportunity to speak on behalf of the residents of Forsyth Street and the surrounding neighbourhood. Residents have lived here for generations, long before the Forsyth Towers heritage site was converted into a school. Since then, overdevelopment has obscured its significance and burdened our community. The environmental noise and traffic assessments underpinning this proposal were conducted by the school, while only 280 students and 39 staff were present in October 2024, just 78% of the approved capacity of 360. Findings based on such incomplete occupancy are not reflective of the real current conditions and cannot be considered reliable. Additionally, these assessments excluded the impact of the four modular classrooms that were being built off-site at the time. Extra classrooms have reduced green space, yet the existing 25 classrooms could adequately support 360 students, averaging 15 students per room, even without including the learning support or library spaces. We question whether it's just community needs that are driving these changes, as is being claimed. The former access driveway on Forsyth Street is now non-operational, forcing minibuses onto our street. This has reduced visibility, created traffic choke points, and compromised emergency vehicle access, posing a serious risk to surrounding homes during urgent events. In addition, constant student litter and vermin impacts our homes, creating an unhygienic environment. Traffic conditions around the school have worsened considerably, and adding more students will only aggravate this problem and cause additional safety issues. No effective solutions have been implemented to address existing issues. Forsyth Street was never designed to handle this traffic volume and is now struggling due to overuse. No parking signs between numbers 39 and 41 were installed to preserve visibility for residents, particularly given the curve of the road. These were not intended to facilitate pick-up and drop-off zones, yet the school's traffic report now classifies this stretch of our home's frontage as a designated transport area. Why are only two residential properties, including ours, the only homes with these conditions? The school has three street frontages totaling at least 76.5 metres each, which could be utilised more effectively without impacting the busy main road. Despite New South Wales parking laws limiting vehicles to two-minute stops, cars and buses frequently park unattended for long periods. These violations have been captured on resident security cameras, and we have observed council officers failing to act. Parents have even reported that they receive alerts on inspection days. Buses routinely block driveways, especially on Tuesdays, with up to five vehicles, preventing residents from entering or exiting their driveways safely. These buses should be using the school's frontage on Robert Street, as this would not affect residents' homes. Additionally, students from their primary campus are transported to the site and collected from Forsyth Street, further intensifying congestion. Yet their presence is not included in current reports. The 10-metre high awning at the rear, built without any application or consideration, is something we would also like to talk about. Science lab extractor fans bordering our homes run constantly, emitting unknown fumes and disturbing residents with noise, even on weekends and holidays. Invasive lighting is left on every night. Speakers mounted near the top project sound well beyond school grounds, especially during concerts or events. Residents have lost sunlight into their yards. The structure has become mouldy, unsightly, intrusive, and a pigeon roost. This is referring to the 10-metre high awning, raising both visual and health concerns. The once visible Forsyth Towers is now entirely obscured from the western side. We've also seen many of the heritage trees in the area disappear. Demountable installations presumed under the Education SEPP require 21 days notice. We were given 5 working days notice, and this resulted in Forsyth Towers not being visible. Why are the residents, those most affected by changes, consistently left out of the conversation here? There is no transparency around the school's master plan. We are only informed after the fact with no opportunity for input or review. The school's unannounced expansions raise concerns about further land acquisitions. These incremental expansions without a clear, publicly accessible master plan are unacceptable. The long-term consequences for traffic, safety, infrastructure, and amenity are significant, and the community deserves to be informed and protected. Let us be clear, we support education and recognise the value of local schools, but this proposed increase, while seemingly small, will have a significant impact on an already strained environment. The proposal to increase student numbers by 25 is not an isolated request. It is part of a broader pattern of expansion carried out without transparency, without consideration for heritage preservation and proper community consultation. Our infrastructure is already at breaking point, our streets are overwhelmed, and the voices of those living here, the ones dealing with the consequences, have not been heard or supported. We respectfully urge the panel to reject this proposal at this time and keep enrolments as determined by the set conditions of DA 253/2009. Thank you for your time and consideration.
Thank you very much to both of you. Appreciate it. Does the panel have any questions? No. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
The next speakers I have are on behalf of the applicant, Karina Turvey and Stuart Gordon of SJB Planning. If one or both of you could come down. That's your Stuart Gordon, obviously?
That's correct.
Right, that's just you?
Yes, Karina. I can see that Karina hasn't. No, Karina won't be coming tonight, it's just myself.
Okay. Thanks for attending. Thank you. You have the floor.
Thank you, panel. As you pointed out, my name's Stuart Gordon. I'm from SJB Planning. I'm here representing the applicant tonight, the school. We assisted the school with the preparation of the DA and lodgement of the DA as town planners, and would like to concur with the recommendation for approval and thank the staff for their detailed assessment. We acknowledge that the school and perhaps any school in a tight environment, urban environment such as this, will create impacts, and we acknowledge the impacts discussed here by the previous speakers tonight, particularly with regard to acoustic impacts and traffic. We've attempted to, and I think we have, addressed the impacts that would relate to this DA specifically in providing a traffic impact assessment and an acoustic report that looks at the incremental additional impacts that might arise from the 25 additional students that are proposed. The school overall is reviewing its premises and its facilities in an ongoing, to be able to continue to operate at this location in an ongoing manner. There is an increase generally year by year, as we understand, for additional students, and this proposal for a 25 student increase is to assist the school in addressing its the desire of people to attend the school in the short to medium term, while a broader review of whether the school premises will be developed, or in fact its other premises may be developed to allow for a wider increase in capacity. So this 25 increase is to assist the school pretty much in the medium term only, while the wider review is undertaken. We understand the proposition that the 25 additional students may have an impact with regards to acoustics. The report provided demonstrates that, in fact, that impact will be negligible compared to the current operations. The same is the case with regards to traffic and parking. We note there was discussion regarding some temporary demand animals that have been put in place. Currently, those demand animals were put in place to allow the school to reduce class sizes, and they would be there in any event, whether this increase in student numbers is approved or not. It's to basically reduce class sizes. The demandables have been put in place in accordance with the infrastructure, transport infrastructure SEP exempt development provisions for schools, and can only be in place for 48 months before they are removed. I think that is probably all I'd like to discuss at this point, unless the panel have any questions.
Thank you. Thank you very much for responding that way. It is a dense environment. There's not the degree of room that a lot of schools have, not all schools. It's not rare in the metropolitan area of Sydney to have a school in a dense urban environment, but still, certainly, I think a school needs to be not just a model citizen, but seen to be a model citizen. And I have no doubt that the community complaining about the school genuinely felt complaints. And I'd just ask you to pass on to the school. There must be a better process than those community members airing those complaints via a development application. And there are a range of things, one of which is community liaison committees. It can be having a designated person with a mobile phone number that's available 24/7, or someone senior out door knocking and trying to ameliorate the concerns by demonstrating how a school can operate in a dense environment with the difficulty of trying to keep everyone happy. But I just sense that there could be better good corporate citizenship, community citizenship from the school is what I will certainly consider, whether or not there's anything available to us as a panel for dealing with that. But I think there's a broader question than, because if the school over the next ensuing years sees itself as expanding, this is just going to get repeated and probably more volume to it. I don't know what your response to that is.
Yeah, I would suggest if there was a greater expansion or in terms of the reconstruction or further construction of the site, a much broader response would be required also in terms of the level of documentation that would go with that, and a broader review of the circumstances of that would be undertaken. But I take your point.
Your neighbours.
Yep.
Work with your neighbours.
Yes.
It's not a school that's isolated your neighbours.
I can speak from personal opinion. I lived next to a school in Dulwich Hill for 15 years, and I understand the issues that they can and the tension in the neighbourhood that they can occur from their day-to-day activities.
There you go. panel. Any questions?
Yes, Mr. Chair. Just picking up on the Chair's point there, but looking more at the here and now, I mean, we've certainly heard that there is concern expressed in the community, and as you say, I mean, to a certain extent, that's the nature of schools in an urban environment. But you might be familiar with the concept of plans of management, operational plans of management that are often employed for schools and these types of uses. I did ask the staff to see, is there an existing plan of management for the original school consent, which I understand there's not. There are, however, a range of conditions relating to things like noise and so on. With this recommendation before us, there are some conditions around traffic and so on. I'm just wondering if the panel was minded to grant consent to this, what your thoughts would be to formalising as a condition the requirement for a plan of management that encapsulates some of those things that ideally you don't need them in, and ideally, as the Chair says, you're operating as the school is operating as a good neighbour, but just in terms of what can this panel do if it was minded to grant consent to sort of formalise that? Do you have a view as to that?
I'd agree that it may not be a positive thing in that there are, the school does have a series of processes, everything from waste management to noise management that they operate by, and putting that in a cohesive plan of management may not be a bad thing in this case, and it would be something that the school would be able to do. It would be basically putting together the structures that they already have and tying it into the consent. Yep.
Thanks, Mr.
Mr. Chair, I've heard a couple of references to a master plan being prepared for the site, and obviously we're in an area with increased residential population, and so there'll be increased demand for educational facilities and the like. So how far has that master plan progressed, and what sort of growth scenarios are the school looking at as part of that process?
It hasn't progressed far, and the school is looking at, as I understand it, what site would be more suitable in their portfolio, and it may be that the primary school is a location that's chosen to be repurposed or to be expanded rather than this site. And so my understanding is that the principal is, there's a new principal as well, and so to say that there's the basis of a master plan, I think at this stage would it's very, very basic, and I wouldn't be able to give you much advice on that. But they are, it's in response to increasing demand year on year, and both at primary and secondary level. And so they're having to take a look at both their properties and how they will manage that. And if they are to continue to accept increased student numbers, then they won't be able to continue to operate at both facilities in their current form.
Osman? All right. Thank you. Nothing from Council? Well, that concludes that item. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Gordon. We'll now go to item 2, which is DA 1349 of 2024, 628 Kent Street, Belmore. This seeks to modify approved shop top housing development by carrying out internal alterations and providing affordable housing and adding a seventh storey. I don't have anyone registered to speak except the architects, Ross Howison, architects, is available to respond to any questions. Does the panel have any questions in respect of the architect? Peter?
Yes, Mr. Chair, I've got a question of the architect, so Mr. or the applicant.
Mr. Howison, if you could come forward. Thank you. Thanks,
So the basis for this application is following the amendments to the SEP to provide bonuses to allow affordable housing to be provided. And so additional 5 affordable housing units proposed as part of this application. My interest in particular is just to do with ensuring that applications that get bonuses for affordable housing are managing that affordable housing for that purpose. You may be aware of the studies that came out just at Christmas time about a number of affordable housing properties around, particularly Sydney, City of Sydney, where the properties were not being managed in accordance with the affordable housing guidelines by the respective community housing provider, where in fact the affordable housing tenants were paying more than the equivalent private rental market units within that same building. So my particular question is, what experience do Exclusive Residential Real Estate Pty Ltd, who are the registered affordable housing provider, what experience do they have in ensuring compliance with the affordable housing guidelines to give us the confidence that the sort of provisions and bonuses being sought as part of this application are warranted?
Okay, thank you. I'm unfortunately not able to answer that question at the moment. The client wasn't able to be here. He could have helped out with this, but he wasn't able to be here. His wife has been taken to hospital, so he apologises for that and asked me to send his apologies. But I am aware that the housing provider is has many properties and is well experienced in it, and I know he manages other properties. But all I can say is that we could provide his credentials and his history to ensure that it is done correctly, as it should be. And so, unfortunately, I'm not familiar with the group, so I can't help out on that one. He could have, but I'm sorry, but that was just the way it is.
So our concerns...
I understand your concerns.
Our concerns are elsewhere in the city. We're not saying your client or your housing provider, but elsewhere. Real estate agents have set it up on behalf of the developer as a rent roll. And no. Can you hear me now? I'll just speak closer. How's that? Yeah, my apologies. You can hear now? Yes. No, the concern is that in other areas of Sydney, the affordable housing uplift has been run like a rent roll without any reduction in the rent that's been paid. Okay. Not saying that's case, but it's a concern.
Understandable. I apologise. I wasn't aware of that. I have done a few of these DAs with the uplifts and understand that the bonus is a thing that should be carried out correctly and for all the right reasons. Now, I understood that they were all managed by appropriate people. I'm quite confident that this company that our client has suggested would be, and I'm sure he could put it forward. But I understand your concerns, and I agree with you totally. So if we can reinforce his, his credentials or whatever, we're more than happy to do it, I'm sure. I know that my client hasn't done this before with the new uplift or the SIP. So he's a bit, he's new at it as well, I think. So perhaps it's a learning curve for him and all of us on this. But I appreciate your concern.
Regulations often lag actions. Mm-hmm. So things are not really being done the way they should be, then they get regulated, but it's usually well after the event. So, Peter, any other questions on that? David? Osman? No, thank you.
No, okay, thank you. I'm sorry I couldn't assist a little more on that one.
That's okay. Well, that concludes, Joanna. There's no reason why we can't conclude. Well, thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for coming. My apologies you couldn't hear for a short part of it, but appreciate you attending and contributing. Thank you to the staff of the council for the assessment reports and to the panel. Process now is we will, as a panel, deliberate and make decisions which will be on the portal, department's portal, by Friday. Council's website, not the department, sorry, council's website by Friday. So thank you for coming. this part of the evening is concluded.